you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Run and Plays podcast with Grant Lifman. I'm Kareth Burke. I do believe we are sponsored by Wendy's. Thank you, Wendy's. And thank you for listening, as always. Just a note off the top, I should be having a microphone coming soon, which might help the audio quality a little bit. And as Grant and I were talking about what we wanted to talk about in this podcast, it came up, well, why don't we talk about some people? My favorite. Let's talk about people. So, not in a gossipy way, of course, but what could the future be? You know, for some of the guys that we don't talk about very much, because we spend a lot of time talking about this core four. That's the spectacular trio of Steph and Clay and Draymond, plus Andrew Wiggins now, this core four, as Bob Myers referred to them. But what about the other guys? Because there are some promising other guys.
Speaking of Other Guys, do you ever see the movie Other Guys?
Yes, because it has Ryan Gosling, who I love, very predictable. I know. Of people who like Ryan Gosling. Yes.
Wait, no, that's the other one. Other Guys what? Is Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. That one is the other one with Russell Crowe, right?
Well, aren't they both called The Other Guy?
Is it?
I don't remember, but you're talking about the core four, because it was like Marky Mark and the Boston accent, like he got Derek Jeter. You're the Yankee Clipper or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah. That's the other guys. Okay. Are they both the other guys?
All right. Wait a minute. The other guys we were talking about were going to be Eric Paschal, Jordan Poole. Now I have to look up.
Now we need to know the Gosling, other guys: Ryan Gosling, Russell.
Other guys. Okay. What was this movie called?
Because I do know...
The Nice Guys.
The Nice Guys.
That's called The Nice Guys.
There you go. Well, the other guys... You've seen The Other Guys, obviously.
Yes, I think I've seen every Will Ferrell movie. Yes. Although, I got to tell you, they're slipping lately. But go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. But the first time I saw that movie, I was like, okay. I've watched it since multiple times. It is so funny.
Some
movies, some Will Ferrell movies you're not ready for. I think they're just before their time. Really, just artistic masterpieces.
Avant-garde, like, are they? I don't know.
Step Brothers, for instance. But the other guys. Anyway.
Yeah. Hold on. One movie I always tend to watch now, if I happen to catch it, no matter what part of the movie it's on, like whether it's 20 minutes into it or an hour 20, is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I mean, I can quote every line from that movie.
It totally stands up. So.
Every.
Okay.
Every line. Okay. So you mentioned the core four. We've also talked about Eric Paschal a good amount because, you know, his trade value and people are always talking about Eric Paschal. We even brought up Kevon Looney because Looney has definitely been in the news a little bit. Yeah. And again,
heart hands for Looney.
Oh, we always love Looney. We love Paschal. We love all of them. But let's name some people that have not been discussed. Ooh, there you go. You're like Boban.
I'm doing the Boban heart hand.
The Boban heart. And let's talk. I'm going to throw some names out at you, okay? You tell me if you want to talk about them. You ready?
Yeah.
It'd be really weird if you say no, but Marquise Chris.
Yeah, we could talk about that guy. He was great. He was a friend of the podcast. He's been on the Run and Plays podcast.
Very true.
Great story, but not just a story anymore. Like, that's not great story, pat on the head. Like, he was often the Warriors starting center this season, and he succeeded. The verticalities that we were landing on, the verticality that he brings for this team, and his athleticism was really good. And I think through a tough season, the Warriors only won 15 games this season, but you could see that he was playing for team, for himself, to rejuvenate his career. Like, I really thought he brought the right attitude, which is important to mention because there had been attitude questions, right? Like, is he a malcontent? Is he a problem? And my experience seeing him on the floor, seeing him interact with fans, seeing him behind the scenes, Absolutely not. Like, he's a really happy-go-lucky guy who cares about what he's doing. So I think, I mean, he has earned a spot with the Warriors.
Yeah, not only earned a spot, at this point, a lot of people are just chalking him up as the starting center. Now, that is a lot of pressure on somebody, especially his age and his experience being with only bad teams. Like, he's only been with bad teams, including the Warriors this last year. So it'd be a lot to necessarily just say automatically the starter. And that's why people are like, well, can the Warriors get a Marc Gasol or someone like that, a veteran, right? But Marquese Chriss is 23 years old. He's been in the league for a little while. He's listed at 6'9". With shoes, he's probably 6'10", 6'11", in there. But when he came into the league, he was going to be a stretch four. That's what they considered him. He wasn't going to be a center. He's going to be a guy that brings the ball out. You can shoot threes. He launched a lot of threes with Phoenix his first year. And then it just didn't work out in that position for him. And so what did the Warriors do? They pretty much recreated his game. And he struggled from three. He didn't shoot a lot of threes this last year. But inside, Kareth, he was a monster. He played above the rim, as you said, verticality. And his defense improved dramatically throughout the year. And by the end of it, Kareth, the last 12 games of the year, Marquese Chriss played 27 minutes per game and averaged just under 15 points per game, had over 9 rebounds, had over 1.3 blocks, had 3 assists per game, and shot 61%. So these are monster numbers. I think the second to last game of the year, I think he had 8 assists, which is, for a Warriors team, you get that ball in the post, you're feeding it to Steph, Clay, and those guys. I was so impressed with Marquese Chriss and the money that they have him at, how inexpensive he is in the grand scheme of things for NBA standards. Yeah, he's a keeper. He's a keeper.
What is the money?
So he's on a minimum. He's on a minimum deal. So
that's right.
Yeah.
So he had the 2 years with the Suns. Then it was Rockets, Cavaliers, or do I have that backwards?
Or is it the other way?
I'm not sure. But yeah, so this is his fourth team. And I think, you know, when you mentioned his stats kind of from the new year, I see a guy who finally found his comfort level.
Yep.
The Warriors had so many starting lineups this season and so many injuries. How do you build consistency? How do you find comfort? How do you have predictability with one group of teammates when it's always changing out there? And then eventually, you know, I do think the Warriors reached a point where it's like, we know what this season is. We know we're not going to be a winning team. That doesn't mean we don't strive to win, but maybe there's something in your mind. They kind of reach a... So I was talking with Sue Bird randomly at a game, and she said teams like this will reach their effort point. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know what? Nobody expects anything from us. You know, we know this is going to be a tough season. Why don't we just go out there and play? Which sounds very obvious, but when you reach that effort point where you have nothing to lose, then you can surprise some people. And then you can have these extraordinary performances. And I think Marquese reached the effort point, and I think the team reached the effort point. And then look what happened. Suddenly they're playing a lot more loose. Suddenly things are a lot more fun. And Marquese Chriss told me that during interviews sometimes. It's like, this needs to be fun. We play a game for a living. And although they care about it immensely, if you don't have that fun, if you let the weight of all these losses like really grind you down, you're going to be a miserable person. Marquese Chriss is not a miserable person.
No, he's not. But the one counterpoint you can say to that, Kareth, is a lot of times people have trouble scouting a team when they are so bad because they do have that F it mentality with no expectations. You can be good when you don't have expectations, right? But can you be good when you're expected to be good? And if you're not, you're out of the game. And that's the problem. A lot of these guys later in the year, and I'm going to go over Jordan Poole's numbers, etc., is that they had this leash that was very extended. And they said, hey, go out there, make some mistakes, you're fine. Next year, you can't do that. If you're trying to win, you're out. If you turn over the ball or if you miss a defensive assignment, you're out. So they were fortunate that they did have that playing time to get the experience, as you were saying. But they're going to have to show very early on in a weird year, I don't know what's going to happen in training camp, that they're worthy of the time. Because also, Kareth, we're talking about needs for the team. Center is one of them, right? Because they're very limited and they don't know. They hope Looney is healthy and for a whole year, but they don't know. So that's why James Wiseman's name's coming up. Onyeka Okongwu is coming up. These guys could be great, great players. But if you get them, Marquese Chriss is the one that might be on the outside looking in a little bit, right? So he has to He has to prove something. That is, if Kevon Looney's healthy.
That is no, it. Maybe. Yes, I hear that. See, I would actually say if they were to draft a center, and I suppose if a pick is so high, if they don't end up trading the pick, you would assume that they see that their pick will make an impact right away.
Exactly.
However, the Warriors really like to develop guys. Maybe you give the rookie, a rookie center, time to develop a little bit. That doesn't mean send him down to the G League, but, you know, but maybe ease him in, maybe not as many minutes as some of the other top picks are playing. Because you have a Marquise Chris who has your trust, because you have a Looney who has your trust. So I see this for a center, like this could be a really nice landing spot for a rookie to not have a whole bunch of pressure on his shoulders right away.
Yeah, that too. The tough part for the Warriors is they don't have as many assets to just kind of stash somebody right now. So they feel like whoever they get right now needs to contribute. Yep. And so I do think Marquise Chris will be, unless some trade happens, whatever, I think Marquise Chris will be a significant part of the team. I really do. I think he's going to be really good. And I think he might be better right now than some of these really big time prospects. I think he's really good. So that's just one name. Would you like to do other guys as well as
Marquise? We can. I was thinking about Marquise Chris as a center, and maybe like it's time for these small ball centers, right? I've enjoyed watching PJ Tucker play.
He's
like the 6'6", 245 bowling ball who left the NBA because he didn't think he had a place here, right? Like, he was drafted in 2006 by the Raptors, spent some time in the G League there, didn't really have his footing. So he's like, I'm going to go overseas. I'm going to make my money. $1 million contracts. He was like an MVP in some leagues, played in Italy, Greece, where else? I wrote this down. Israel, Ukraine, Germany. And then it was 2012 when he got an invite to play at the Suns Summer League. Mm-hmm. And his wife's like, you know what? Why don't you give the NBA one more chance? That is a heck of a story. Because look at him now. You know what I mean? Like, and now you're playing center because your team traded Clint Capella. Like, congratulations, you're 6'6". So, and he's crushing it. So if maybe people like Tucker or Chris or, you know, like your small ball guys, I was even thinking Jordan Bell just popped into my mind, you know, about, you know, what could he have been at center?
Kevon Looney, you know, and here's the thing, small ball.
6'9", I mean, Kevon Looney. I think of centers as like big hulking 7-footers.
And that's the thing. It's like, what is small ball? And if we're talking height, well, first of all, PJ Tucker has 7-foot long wingspan, right? So it's like, or if we're talking purely height, yes, PJ Tucker doesn't play above the rim. He does not overly athletic. Right, but
he will box you out.
Right, Draymond Green. It's Draymond Green. It's exactly what it is. Draymond's more athletic than PJ Tucker for sure. But my goodness, you know, you put those guys. The new ideal center in this league is Bam Adebayo of the Heat. 6'9", handles the ball well, can shoot the ball, and great passer. He's like, teams go, oh my god, I need to get Bam Adebayo, and that's why you have someone like Okongwu or Precious Achiuwa in the prospects that are like, oh, these guys could be the next Bam Adebayo. I don't know why everyone just, when you have a unicorn, I'm going to use that word, it's hard to just be like, oh yeah, that next guy is going to be that guy. People have tried that for 10 years now, trying to find Draymond Green, right? Well, he hasn't been.
You got to look in the second round.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Got to find him.
That's always bothered me, by the way, Kareth. People go, well, in the second round, you know, we're really trying to find a Draymond Green. No. Do you know where you find a Draymond Green? It's in the lottery, probably in the top 5 picks. Draymond Green is a future potential Hall of Famer. We're not talking like, why are you looking in the second round? Just because he came from the second round. It's like saying, I'm going to look in the mid round for Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, no, actually a diss. Congratulations to Draymond Green, by the way. Like, did you see the picture? There's going to be a family of 5. His fiance is pregnant. Congratulations to the Green family.
Absolutely. See, we're talking other guys here.
Yeah, other guys. Other guys, other gals. Okay. I think I derailed us. You were about to say a name and I interrupted you.
No, okay. Other guy, Jordan Poole. And we mentioned him quickly. 21 years old. He was 20 last season. For some reason, a guy at the end of the draft plus was 20 years old. Everyone just expected to be just really good on a really bad team. No, that's not, again, that's just not how it works. However, as you were saying, Kareth, at the end of the year, he had the leash extended and they said, hey, Jordan, we're a bad team. Go out there and do something, right? Take the expectations off. and just go. And there was a 10-game stretch right before the season ended where he was almost playing almost 30 minutes per game, and he was putting up 16 points per game, 47% from the field. His threes was still a little low at 32%, but assists were very high. All of a sudden, people were like, wait, is this guy a point guard? Maybe they drafted him being like, is he the next, you know, backup to Klay Thompson shooting the ball? But maybe they're finding, hey, this guy's more of a point guard than he is a shooting guard.
He didn't just arrive at that moment magically, though. Like, the Warriors, yeah. He had to earn some trust, and it was a long journey to do so. I distinctly remember, you know, Steve Kerr was talking about the situation last season was, we're expecting more of our rookies. They're playing far more minutes than they would ordinarily, and this is a struggle. Like, please remember how difficult it is to be a rookie in the league, to switch your mind over from, like, all the college games you played to an 82-game schedule, just to live the life of an NBA rookie, and then having to perform on the court. And, oh, you play for the Warriors, the team with the biggest spotlight. Maybe I was just about to say in the world, very large spotlight. I was just going to catch myself there. Yeah. And you know, you can be a confident person, but that's a ringer that you've never experienced in your life. Yeah. And I remember Jordan Poole, he would say he did not have confidence issues. Other people wondered if he did, and there was a struggle, and there was a long question period for media where we were wondering, like, is he going to do a stint in the G League? Is he going to? And then those questions kind of became relentless. And then Jordan Poole got a little ticked off at us. And then he did a stint in the G League. It was a 3-game stint. It was short. That's all he needed. I was trying to remember, Grant. I think it was when the Warriors went on a road trip.
Yeah.
So Jordan could just stay behind. He could go in Santa Cruz. And he can play maybe more at a level that would bring out his greatness, the flashes that we saw at Michigan, you know, his three-point shooting. Because he was struggling, that three-point shot in December.
Let me
find my notes. So there were 9 games in December. He was 4 for 38. Ooh. From three. Yeah. Okay, he was playing about 22 minutes a game. 4 for 38. So he's not afraid to take the shot, but what if it just wasn't a good shot situationally? Or what if, you know, his feet weren't planted? Or what if he could just make a few, some better decisions? Mm-hmm. Knowing that he possesses that shot, the Warriors see him as a great shooter, just what would be the best situation for that? And then his time in the G League was kind of an infusion of, like, okay, I can do this. Let me turn that confidence back up, if it ever dipped, if he ever didn't want to admit that. But I think that was a nice reminder for him of who he was and the talent he possesses. And then heading into a new year, okay, let me just play. He reduced his turnovers as well. That's a way that you can get your team to trust you. They wanted to see him step it up on defense. And they're like, okay, Jordan, we're going to trust you to do more playmaking now. And he rose to that occasion.
Yeah, no, I everything you said, absolutely. He just he earned the right to keep on playing, and he fought to be there. For someone like him, he's not a shooting guard anymore. He's a combo guard, if not point guard, which is actually more valuable for him, because if you're trying to be a shooting guard in the league, you're going to be defending shooting guards. And at 6'4", he's a little smaller, looks more like a point guard. And if the Warriors go out and draft an Anthony Edwards, Ty Halliburton, or someone like that, that's going to eat at Jordan Poole's time. It just is. And so, do we know what Jordan Poole is going to do next year? No, we don't know, just because he has to take it up a notch, his game up a notch to a level that's ready to compete now. And the Warriors, unfortunately for him, just don't have a time to give him a ton of minutes if he's not ready to make shots. He needs to shoot above, at the very least, 35% from three if he wants to be on the court. And as you said, reduce turnovers as well. So those are things for him that he needs to work on. But again, 21 years old, he could be a piece. Maybe his confidence potentially did falter a little bit, even though he says it didn't, but the guy's ready to shoot. And that is something that a lot of the players that the Warriors have drafted have been afraid to do. When they miss, they stop shooting. Not him.
Yeah. Well, and I think when he can be around Steph and Clay, who are healthy, just being around these guys at practice, watching their work ethic, watching their routines to prepare, seeing the extra work they do after the work, all of that stuff is really valuable.
You know how these things start. You try Wendy's buy one, get one $4 breakfast offer. Love it and tell a friend. Then they tell a friend, and so on and so on and so on. So get to Wendy's and get some breakfast.
And then, so another player, and just names a few here quickly.
Toss them out.
Kai Bowman, for instance. I'm a huge Kai Bowman fan. I love Kai Bowman's game. I think at 23 years old, you know, he's already more of a mature age for being a developmental project. But the guy came out so hot immediately out the gates, but that was because he was put in a position to score. And then eventually they were like, you know what? We want you to play more point guard and distribute the ball, because eventually – you're not out there with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, these guys being like, hey, will you get us 20 points tonight? No. And he struggled. He struggled really badly for trying to figure it out and find his confidence and find his spot to shoot. And it messed with his game a little bit. So we'll see how the Warriors adjust this year. If they say, you know what, let's maybe make you this scoring guard a little bit again, and just that's your role. Or they say, we really need you to refine your game as a point guard. Either way, scrappiness, defensive ability, hustle, you do all those things. I like Kai Bowman. I actually really think there's a place for him in those games where it's just like, let's change the energy of the game.
Yes.
Like Kai.
Yeah, I do too. He earned it. Because reviewing Kai Bowman's story, undrafted, two-way contract, ended up being the starting point guard for the Golden State Warriors. Like, yeah. Holy crap. And if you're talking about refining his skills, you can see all over his Instagram right now, he's working with a coach named Packy Turner. He's in the gym all the time. Packy's like a development guy, like a skills guy. Steph will work out with him sometimes. I believe Damian Lee as well. There's a woman named Cameron Brink who's going to play at Stanford who works with Packy. I think maybe Sabrina Ionescu worked with him as well. So he is putting in the time. If there's something that Kai Bowman wants to work on, he's getting that work in. I respect it. And I remember reading, and I swear I took a screenshot of this, but on Twitter, somebody was talking about Kai Bowman, like, would he ever be Defensive Player of the Year? And Kai responded and was like, bet, or like, he did the like, shh, like he's working on it. So listen,
I love it.
I respect somebody who states what he wants, even if it's a very lofty goal. But if he's like, yes, I want to work to a degree where I can be Defensive Player of the Year, more power to him.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there.
I love it. Absolutely. And then 10 years from now, you can quote tweet that tweet. Be like, told you.
That's right. Like the Steph Curry one. Like, yeah. We're going to figure this out eventually. Look what happened. Yeah. Hey, put it into the universe. Let it manifest.
I'm all for it. And then if it never happens, you just hope people forget. Also, you're speaking of two-way guys that played a lot of minutes last year. How about Damian Lee?
Hey!
Damian Lee, we had him on the pod. 27 years old. He's going to be 28 by the time the season starts. But, I mean, he was not supposed to play this many minutes this year. And what he did, he was pretty much the team leader for a lot of these games. Emotional leader. Was a veteran out there, even though he was so young of a player in terms of experience. But incredible story. Most importantly for Damian, the Warriors are really excited about him because next season he can go back into the role where he is best for, is coming off the bench, energy, hustle, scrambling around, and also being able to hit an open three. Mm-hmm. And they need players like that. And he is just prime for it. He is somebody that actually likes coming off the bench. He said it even to us. He says he likes his role. He just wants to help.
Yep.
I mean, you need players like that. And I'm excited for it. Even if they get Devin Vassell or Aaron Nesmith or any of these other prospects, like, Damian Lee should still have a role coming off the bench. And even if it's 10 minutes, if it's 18 minutes per game, whatever it is, we're going to see Damian next season.
Yeah, he earned it. He went from that two-way contract. Well, the two-way contract before that, you know, they had to make room for him this season. And I like that you mentioned he's 27 and he is a veteran. But why guys listen to him is because of what he's been through in his basketball career. Two knee injuries, a wrist injury, a broken hand. He's seen it all. And then when you toil in the G League, when you're so close to making it with the big club, you know, when it comes time, when somebody needs to speak, you really listen to somebody like Damian who's been through that fire. So I like, if there's going to be like I don't know, like a bench veteran, I guess, on the team. Like he would kind of be, he would be that guy. He speaks softly, but when he does, guys listen.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that about Damian.
We listen too.
Who else is on it? Yeah, he was a great conversation if you want to rewind back on a previous episode of the Run in Place podcast. Juan Toscano-Anderson, what do you think? Because he signed a three-year deal, but, you know, restricted free agent. So
I think for Juan, him and Michael Mulder, to me, are better chances of a two-way contract potentially with the Warriors this year. I really like them. I really do. And Juan Toscano-Anderson is an impressive person off the court as well. He just needs a little more refinement right now on his shot. He's a good defender. He's scrappy. He has the length. He just needs to refine his shot and his offensive game a little bit, but he can contribute right now in small bits for sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if he actually played a little bit for the Warriors this year, whether it be on a two-way contract or whatever. But they're going to be there's only so many spots to go around on this team, and they're going to be trying to bring in some veterans. They think their team is too young and inexperienced right now. So if they bring in some veterans around that position, it's going to be hard for him. And then Michael Mulder, he's going to try to push for Damian Lee's spot, for instance. Guy comes off the bench, firing away, etc. Again, maybe he's designed more for a two-way contract at this point, but these guys have a chance to compete. I think Juan Toscano-Anderson, Michael Mulder, and Kai Bowman, those three, will maybe competing for one full-time roster spot and then maybe some two-way spots.
I can see that. So the Warriors have the rights to Juan Toscano-Anderson. They have the rights to Michael Mulder. Mulder's kind of cool because he had his 10-day contract and the Warriors could have offered him another 10-day, and they're like, no, we're going to lock you up. We're going to offer you. Yeah, that's a great story. Juan Toscano-Anderson, to be Oakland-born, to be a fan of the Warriors, to say he was mad when the Warriors traded away Monte Ellis, that kind of stuff is really cool. You want to root for the hometown kid.
Absolutely.
I think he's done enough to show he belongs in the league in some capacity. Same with Michael Mulder. I don't know. I want to see them succeed. They will find a home somewhere. If it's with the Warriors, a system they already know, very cool. But you made this point, like the Warriors fell in love with a lot of guys. They fell in love through hardship though. And hopefully that hardship, those situations are not returning next season. So, they are gonna have to say goodbye to some people who did some work for them and really gave it their all. But this is where basketball as a business really starts to flare up.
Yeah, and these guys are going to have to compete, and that's what's so weird about this next year. Is there a training camp? How does that work? Usually there's a summer league for these guys to get better. That stuff's not happening the same way. No. So the Warriors will have a training camp soon in the bubble, and that will help a lot to get them all together. But just remember, if the Warriors keep their picks this year, they have a first-round pick, a very high pick, and they have 2 second-round picks as well. So these are guys that are come in and compete, and then you're competing against veterans and stuff. So it's the competition's there, but you know what? The cream rises to the top. And so I really do think some of these guys will step up and show that they've been working hard and they've been doing everything they can. Can I tell you a draft crush really quickly?
A draft crush?
Yeah, I have a draft crush right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So every week I like do some more research on somebody, and like I've decided like which guy would be a perfect fit for the Warriors, and it's like that's my new draft crush of the time.
I'm imagining like little hearts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right? You know, like that Instagram filter. Zooms in. So before it was Devin Vassell from Florida State. Love his game, shooting guard. He can probably be, he can defend right now. Anyone I love, all my draft crushes can defend right now. They can be put in the NBA and say that guy's a good defender. That's number one most. Before anything for the Warriors.
Which is interesting because you're not even seeing that necessarily in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Okay. Playoffs. Right. Playoffs. Defendant. Okay. Yeah. All right. If you want a coach to fall in love with you, or Grant Liffman, apparently, play some defense.
Just play defense. All right. So Devin Vassell, he plays defense. He's long. He's athletic for a shooting guard position. Could be a small wing, but he's more shooting guard. Love his game. Devin Vassell would be great. He was a guy. Sadiq Bey, Villanova. His ceiling is not as high, but his floor is also pretty high because he just plays defense really hard from his position. It's a small little space.
His ceiling's not high, but his floor is high.
His head's bumping the ceiling. Okay. But he can come in the league and play defense right now, can hit a three. But my guy right now, my new crush, Patrick Williams of Florida State. For some reason, I like Florida State. The guy's big, he's gritty, he's tough. He's super young, and he can defend right now. And he's a good help defender, can defend the rim a little bit, maybe more of a wing power forward type. But he can, you know, his shot's coming along. He's a little raw offensively. He's raw across the board a little bit. But I think he can come in, play defense right now. Patrick Williams, FSU. Draft crush.
Where has he been projected? Is it like in the team?
Between 10 to 15, mostly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so is Sadiq Bey. It's been like 15-ish. Vassell.
Now, is that some Villanova love? Is that Villanova bias even?
Exactly.
Is that this looks like a safe bet.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone Villanova. and then, I mean, there's a lot of – every week there's somebody else that I'm just like, you know what? He'd be perfect. The only person I haven't come around on is LaMelo Ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just fine with me.
If LaMelo ends up on the Warriors, can we just delete this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds fine with me. You know, when you were in middle school or high school, mm-hmm. what were your crushes like? Were they very intense?
That's a great question.
Did you have like a new crush once a week, like a draft
no.
crush?
No.
Draft? Okay.
I'd have one crush and just be like obsessed, but
just
like
fine but, for them,
right? But it would be like I would play it so cool, no one would know. I never wanted anyone to know I had a crush, you know. It wasn't like one of those open ones. It would be like it made me too nervous to let people know, because then I was too vulnerable, you know. This is like a therapy session right now. How about you?
Very, very intense crushes that would last like a month hard. Kind of like wipe away.
Just like that.
Yeah. So I used to ride my bike everywhere. I would ride my bike to school, lived in an army base, and I knew where my crush's house was. I remember him first and last name, what he looks like. I'll just call him Nick. That is his name. I won't say his last name. But I would just happen to ride by his house every day, just hoping he was outside. And if he was outside, what was I going to do? Nothing. I would just pedal on by, but I would see. And so now, do you know that Tom Petty song, Don't Come Around Here No More?
Of course.
That reminds me of me.
Are you?
I take it very literally. Don't come around here no more. What is it? Who do you expect to meet? Or like, who are you looking for?
Oh, that's really funny.
Like that. And it's like, that crush reminds me of my obsessiveness. And I laugh every time I hear the song. So I was like 10 years old, just so you know.
It's not like you're a stalker. Yeah. No, you're like, it's innocent little
This is me trying to come into my feelings, having those feelings, not knowing what the hell to do with them.
Yeah.
And just being like, okay, I'm going to ride my bike now.
Yeah. No, see, I probably would put myself in position, like by accident, to be in a situation where I'd have to see this person. And I would play the friend game. I was definitely, when I was young, I was always came in the friend game.
Friend,
again, I was too insecure to like just come out strong and be like, oh, I like you. You know what I mean? I had to like play the real slow game when I was young.
Yeah. You have all these emotions and how do you even put that into words? Or like everything you know about caring about somebody might be from movies or something, mm-hmm. which is not a good influence as far as what love is or like how to behave. I don't know.
Right. So so now
my heart is like a flutter right now. Oh my God.
This is so, now you're thinking about Nick.
Nick, because Nick told me one day, and he like in hindsight, he was like this massive, massive nerd, and I was a massive nerd too. So
I was too. Yeah.
But one day I annoyed him and he told me in his kind of whiny voice, I don't like you.
That means he liked you.
And I didn't, but, and in the moment, like I played it so cool. I was like, well, I don't like you either. Like, I don't know if he was expecting that. I think he could tell I had a crush on him and he just wanted to just pummel me, and he did, but I kept it cool. And then I cried when I got home.
Okay. But did you get over the crush after that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You moved on to next.
Moved on to somebody else. Yep.
Next it was Tommy. Billy.
Who knows? I have also.
That's really funny. But Nick is the example of that. Yeah, there is. Oh my God, I played it. I played it cool.
Still remember their faces and names, right?
Oh, I remember everything.
Yeah.
I don't forget these things. These things are burned in the memory. So that's what Patrick Williams is to me right now.
Okay. Like draft crush.
Do you like my transition right there?
Let's end on this podcast.
Yeah.
Dude, we've talked about so many names. Is there anybody else you want to name check on this pod?
I mean, I can go through my elementary school years and just think about
it. No. I think that's it.
Okay, we're off that. Yeah. Here's a name. Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
He struggled last game. We'll see what happens in this Lakers-Rockets series. Before, I told you, my prediction was long series, but probably Lakers. Yep. But I'm still going with that 100%. But it's gonna be a long series. I like
it. I'm still going. I think we said Lakers in 6 or 7. Yeah. I'll still say Lakers in 6 or 7.
I think Russ is gonna bounce back. But was rough.
If there was one name when I was anchoring at my previous job that would make me have to redo a segment every time, it was Russell Westbrook.
Really?
I need to think about that because it always came out as Russell Westbrook. Always.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook. Loves to hunt rabbits.
A Looney Tune? Yeah.
Yeah.
Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
Russ.
I don't struggle with R's. I don't struggle with W's, but that name.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
I have to think of what name. I mean, I still have trouble with Adrian Wojnarowski's name.
That's why I just call him Woj.
Yeah, I know. You just slow it down. I had Giannis Antetokounmpo down years ago. That's an easy one. People have trouble with that one. Easy for me.
It's like the way it's pronounced, because I look at it every time. When the Warriors play the Bucks, you get the opposing team's game notes as well. And there's the pronouncer. And it's there's like a D. It's like Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Yeah. But I just go Antetokounmpo. I just say it so fast that you never even know if I said it right.
Well, that's cheating. But yes, I do that too.
I say it so fast. Giannis Antetokounmpo. See? Told you. They went. By the way, we have to practice his name. I'm just kidding. I'm not doing this.
Grant Lifman.
Lifman. A lot of people think there's a T in there. Lifman.
Oh. Nope. Lifman.
Lifman. Kareth Burke.
No, but it's more like I was at the doctor's office today. Here, anytime I'm at the doctor's office, usually they look at my name and then they go, Burke.
It's not that.
Some people try. I got Kareth today. Like, no, it's Kareth, but thank you. Like, I just gave her, like, so much praise for even trying. It was amazing.
Is it that weird? I don't know. It's so easy to me. I don't know. Maybe the first time I saw your name and I didn't know.
Burke.
I don't know. I remember you filling in for Roz in the first year.
Yeah.
It was the end of the season. I think you got, like, three games or something like that. Was it?
Two. I think it was two.
Two games? Yeah. Yep. I remember it well. And I was like, Kareth, that's a unique name.
Kareth,
I remember that. Yeah, I was like, she nailed it. She's going to be the future voice of the Warriors on the sidelines.
Oh, thank you. And now we're back to manifesting things. So defensive player of the year for Kai, Golden State Warriors sideline reporter for me. My dream came true. I hope all of your dreams come true as well.
Wow, what an ending. Brought to you by Wendy's.
Yep. Good talking with you, and thank you everybody for listening to the Run and Plays podcast. We appreciate your comments. Send us more. Let us know what's up. Like I said, I've got a microphone coming. And rate, review, subscribe, all the stuff. We really appreciate you listening, and we'll see you again soon.
Yes, please.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.